Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. We ask you to bless it to each and every heart here for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, we will be in Romans tonight, the 6th chapter of Romans. That's Romans, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What an impossibility. Dead, live. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Where, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, of course, 3 is know ye not. And then knowing this, down in 9, knowing. Twice and then over at 7, when it starts, know ye not. Or don't you know? So, he's telling you that this is starting sanctification. There's certain things you're going to have to know to walk a sanctified life. Now, there were certain things you had to know to get saved. And we just left justification. Galatians teaches you that whether you realize you're justified or not, you're justified. See, there's people out there that have got saved one time. They went out. They never read their Bible, and maybe you never went to a meeting again. The thief on the cross, he didn't know this at all. But he was justified. And what he's telling you here, unless you know this, you're not going to be sanctified. Or you're not going to have a sanctified life. You can't do it. Unless you know something. So, he's telling you all this. And I'll start again with, therefore, 3, 4. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. That is a fact. Whether you realize it or not, if you are in Christ, it is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Notice it says that there isn't sin in the flesh, but you're freed from the power over you in this. Not rid of it, free from it. He's talking about service. Service to sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that if we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now, there are people that think Christ comes back and dies all the time. And actually, in the Mass, he does die all the time. But knowing this, you should know just as a fact, he isn't going to die again. knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion, and get it, it's the dominion that he's trying to tell you here over him. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon, we went through that, we'll go through some more, ye also yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, now let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. See, it's the dominion he's trying to get over here. He's not saying that sin isn't in the flesh. He's saying that it has not got the dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, or you're not in the realm of law. You've been taken out of the realm of law, and you're over here in a realm of grace. They're two different realms altogether. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, or in that over there, as Paul says in Timothy, a righteous man don't need no law. If he's really righteous, he isn't going to do anything wrong, is he? But under grace, God forbid, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I'll say this as we read this here, because you're going to read that verse 6. That's a fact. And then you're going to have all this in your daily life for years. Not understand it, you see? So that's why from verse 6 he tries to explain all this that you're going to have. But it is a fact. The old man is crucified with Christ. So that's why he's explaining now what he said in verse 6. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We live in a realm of righteousness now. That's what he's saying, of perfect righteousness. We'll get back to that in a little bit. I speak after the manner of men. See, he's trying to say, I'm explaining this the best I can, using human terms. Because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Because that's all it leads to. The holy life. For when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit? Notice it isn't what work. Because fruit is a natural thing. If a tree or a plant gets enough, it's in good soil, and it gets enough water, it'll just produce naturally want it. You can't, you could, like Dad used to say, if you try to take a hedge apple tree and say, now you got to bear good fruit, or I'm going to cut you down and burn you. Well, you say, you just well as cut it down now and burn it. Why wait a little while to see what you're going to get? So he's talking. He isn't talking about works, is he? He's talking about fruit. Of course, fruit of the Spirit. Had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. That's what's going to happen to that tree. But now being made free from sin, now it doesn't mean that you don't have sin in the flesh. It means that it has no power over you if you'll do what he's telling you to do. And become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that's why, it's what's in the gift. It's just if you accept the gift of righteousness. That's all it is. Of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we had just finished the fifth chapter. In this book, as I said at the beginning, after the salutation, Paul gets into condemnation. Then he gets into justification. Now we're coming to the third part of it, which is sanctification, which is the most, justification. The reason people cannot ever understand sanctification is because they can't understand justification, that they're justified wholly forever the minute they took Christ into their life. That's the reason they never walk a sanctified life, and they don't. So now we come to the sanctified part of it. And of course, then the dispensational part will be 9, 10, 11. And that is when God is dealing with people. But here now, he's dealing through the Spirit for Christians that know there's justification to walk a sanctified life. And he gives you the formula right here in these three chapters. The first part, like they say, is surrender. That's six. We're going to go to surrender to the life you have. In the seventh chapter, it's self. The struggle with self. And then, of course, the eighth is spirit. The spirit chapter. And of course, it's self. As you'll notice here in the fourth verse, that it says that you should walk in the newness of life. Now, you're never going to walk in this newness of life unless you understand this newness of life, what it is. Most people, after they're saved, if they try to be sanctified, they go back and try to perfect a natural human perfect life. That's already been perfected for you. See? Christ was the one that perfected that. He perfected the natural divine life. And that's the newness of life. And that's what Paul will tell us finally over in the seventh chapter if we get to there. He said, I didn't realize it till I got to it. See? I didn't realize it, what I was doing. Well, here, these people that think sanctification is on their own strength, going back and perfecting that life. And it's already been perfected, and it's a life they could never perfect. They absolutely couldn't do it except with the power of the Holy Ghost through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us here. Now, sanctification, the Methodists, which were the Wesley brothers, their method, that's what Methodist means, is their method of sanctification. I had a grandfather that I was told was a Methodist preacher. Some of you have heard it. And he'd put a glass of water, and this was the second act of grace. And he'd take a lump of coal and he'd say, sin is removed, root and branch. The coal. Well, it was obvious he never got it. You know, if it's gone, what happens? That does not work. Nobody has ever made sanctification work except this way, and this way alone. He tells you how it can work, and only work this way. Now, 5, we finished the chapter 5. Remember, he took in justification, he took a man, David. And David was under the law. And the law never kept him from sinning. See? Two things to get straight. The law never quit or stopped anybody from sinning, and neither did grace. See? It don't stop you from sinning. It's just that it's the only way that you're going to not sin. We'll read this here. The law will never get you to quit sinning. Now, over in 7, Paul says, it fooled me even. I thought I could do it. And I was enlightened. But it trapped me. See? There is self that we think that we can actually do it when we get to a certain point. But you can't. That's not that kind of life. See, he's explaining the kind of life you got. And this life is completely dependent upon the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And will be forever. Now, he's going to finally completely do the work and deliver from the presence of sin. But in the ages to come, it will still be the great riches of his grace through Jesus Christ to us. So, as we left 5, and then of course, Abraham, he wasn't under any law, any religion, any anything. But it was the same way of justification, was to just trust. And as Jesus said, he delighted to see my day, that he would come and die. Both those men knew it. So he took those two men to come to this point to prove that it was faith, grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone. Now he tells you that the only way that you're going to live this victorious life is through 6, 7, and 8. Now you can read it and never understand it if you don't believe it. In the first place, verse 6, you read, is crucified. That's a fact. And never really believe that. The minute you get in a test, you say, oh, I thought it was crucified. See? That's why he has to explain it. See, first you got to know it and believe it. Eve in the garden, what did she do? Has God said? First thing, doubt God's word. Doubt it. Just put a question on it. Just put a question on, is crucified. Just one little question, and you'll end up on the slippery slope of unbelief. That's what it's all about. Even this far in, that's all it's about, is believing what God has to say on any subject. The subject was, she was not to eat of the fruit of the tree, and it always says good first, and then evil, because she was really aware of what good was. Talk about good. She had it good. If you'd been there, you'd have known it was good. All the good things of God. But she didn't know what evil was. But boy, when it was inside her bosom, she knew what it was. That's the only way you ever really know it. Is when it's inside you. You can't even learn it from watching. You got to know it for yourself. And you do. Finally, the prophet said, oh, my deceiving heart, who could know it? It is above all things, Bobby, wicked. Who can know it? Unless it's there. So she got to know it. Now here, he's telling us. You got to know what's said on sanctification, and then you got to say, that is a fact. That's where I'm at. Because that's where you are at. And then the Holy Spirit begins to make it happen. Then you put the big wheels of God's grace that can do anything into motion. Like we read, the works of faith. He can't deny it. So, as we left 5, let's read 20. Now, see, what he's saying here, we're identified now. Remember we left? One man put us into this, and one man took us out of it. I'm identified, and you're identified with Adam and Eve, though we weren't there. We're identified with the other man because of his obedience, but we weren't there. You say, that don't make sense. That's what Eve started to think. Has God said? Starting to doubt. I don't understand that. She started to add to his words. Proverbs says, add not to his words, lest you be proven a fool. And I didn't read anywhere it said not to touch it. But that's where you can get on that slope when you won't believe these 3 chapters on how to be sanctified. It does work. So he says, moreover, the law entered in 25 that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, where did sin abound? Of course, at Calvary. At the cross. There, though the Jews had the law, and what's the first law? Love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might. Did they love Jesus? He said, now you've proved that you hate me and you hate my Father. Talk about sin abounding. Talk about breaking the commandment. That's where it abounded. See? But at the same place is where grace abounded. If it hadn't have been for that cross, we couldn't be identified with Him and be a new creature that, what? Adam and Christ? A difference? Why, we can't even imagine the difference. Won't be able to imagine it forever. See? Because He's saying, it's just as clear as you can say it. As you were identified with Him, you're identified with Him. So He explains what was in Adam. What was in Adam? He was a creature. We couldn't have been any more than that. A sinless creature that was given a choice. And what did he do? He defied God. So he fell. He is a fallen creature. He is a sinful creature. And the day he did it, he died. He died spiritually as far as God was concerned. See, he counts. He said, the day you do it, you'll die. He died spiritually and he was dying physically. From the time he took it, he had one less second to live. It was as good as done, wasn't it? As good as done. Jesus said, I am no longer in this world. As he was going to the cross. Now, he was in the world, wasn't he? No. It was as good as done. This is what this is. It is as good as done. And it works if you'll try it. Because it's a fact. See, that's why he says you're going to have to count it what it is. So then you investigate all that Adam was. We couldn't have ever been any more than earthly. Because that's what he is earthly. If you'd have taken him out of the garden, he had a garden prepared for him and he was for that garden. If you'd have taken him out of heaven, he'd have been a fish out of water. You see that? He couldn't have. He was of this earth, earthly, out of the red earth. But now he's saying, identify. That's why he starts off with the baptism first. To identify you with Christ. Can you say amen to that? Whether it looks like it or not? So we can get into this. And then 21, that has sin, now notice, is the king. Sin reigned. That's why we got it from Adam. And don't think sin ain't king. We'll get over there as he explains it, 14 through 23. And you'll find people that'll say, huh, I didn't yield a sinner. I didn't have to yield to sin all the time. You know? I was tempted one time and there was, I could have stole, I know, $2,000-$3,000 and got away with it, and I didn't do it. I was tempted, but I didn't do it. I'm not a servant to sin. He's not saying a servant to sins. He's saying a servant to sin. You got to get that difference. That's why over in the second chapter, he said, you don't do the same things, you do the same thing you sin. You're a sinner. Oh, yes, you are helpless to sin. That's what he's saying. Then he's going to say, now, you're not. You got a choice now. You don't have to serve sin. It isn't eradicated, but you don't have to serve it. You're free. You got enough power not to yield to it. See, there are certain people that a little baby, if a big boa constrictor got a hold of it, it hasn't got enough power not to yield to be squeezed to death. But then you take a great big elephant, he don't have to be squeezed to death. A little snake like that, he'd just tromp him, wouldn't he? See, you don't have to yield. And you make the choice. So, but notice that 21st verse before he gets any further with this, that he's going to tell you. Sin reigned, it was king unto death, and that's where sin, that king, takes you. Separation from God spiritually, and of course, you lose your life. Unto death, even so might grace reign. Now, it doesn't just say, even so might grace reign, be king. It adds, before it gets into all this sanctification, through righteousness. You have a righteous life the minute you was born again. But you will never be king of righteousness unless you reign in righteousness. You won't be. Absolutely can't reign in any other thing but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and of course it's in by the Lord. So then we read, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers this question with coming up what he says, and then he uses baptism. What shall we say? Shall we that are continue in sin that grace may abound? Now this question is still, there's two questions that are always asked to the grace people over this. Of course, then he goes down and asks another question in 14. But it's related to this question. This is what they come out with in Galatians. You can read it. They accuse Paul of preaching a gospel that said, okay, since we're under grace, it don't make any difference. Well, that'll be brought more out from 14 on. But it don't make any difference there. If you sin, grace is going to cover it, right? Huh? Christians, what difference does it make? I'm under grace. I can sin. They won't be lost, but they won't reign in righteousness, will they? The other question was, since God's greatest work is His grace, and always will be, and He shows grace, you're saying, if we sin the more grace, the more work God will do, let's sin the more. See, from the very first, that's what, how the devil attacked the grace message. He straightens it out right first as he ends the fifth chapter and starts this chapter. That isn't the way it is at all. He isn't preaching that at all. See? That, why not really get God to do great things in my life? If the only way he's going to give me something is show me more grace when I sin the most, then let's sin the more. Well, they were telling him that. And then, of course, they were telling him then if it's grace, the Jews will never be brought back in their promises. And he explains that in 9. He says that isn't the case at all either. And he explains it in 9, 10, and 11. So now, he goes to baptism. Now this baptism here is not John's baptism. John's baptism was always to repentance, of course. You've already repented when you go through what he's got here. See the difference? John's baptism was to repentance, it says. The Jews were to repent because they had not. Not one of them had kept the law. Therefore, repent and be baptized. And admit, you, every one of you under the law, deserve death. See, and it wasn't no resurrection at all. That's all that was too. Then, this, since it were being identified with Christ, he goes through it. Now, this is what he's showing you here. Identify what really happened. Then you'll know what you are. So, you're not ever going to get anywhere in sanctification if you believe that the more you sin, the more your grace. And since you're if you're under grace, what difference does it make? God will take up the slack. I'll be sanctified. No, he says, no, you won't. That's what he's saying. You won't. And you won't walk a sanctified life. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? He just explained about Adam, who disobeyed God, and for one sin it happened, and Christ who obeyed and brought us all to heads. And if you want to, I don't want to go into the 15th chapter of Corinthians and explain that to you. But if you read that, you'll find out that there's two heads there. A heavenly head and an earthly head. You read it and that's what you're in, is that heavenly head. And this is what he's saying here. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer? Well, that's stupid, huh? How can a dead man live any time? What he's saying with Christ, you are identified and he's taken you through his crucifixion and through his resurrected life into a new life that wasn't even the Christ life. It's a complete new life. You're in a realm of life, and life to the fullest if you lay hold of it. You couldn't get any closer to God than this life has brought you, if you'll follow this. Now, you're not going to become any more righteous. It's just like Christ's life. So let's see what that life was that he laid down. He laid down a life that submitted. See? That's what he's saying. He submitted to the will of God. You can read, read 15:3 here of Romans and Philippians. I think I should turn over to Philippians 2:7 here. Most of you know what that's going to be. And this is this kind of life now. Well, I'll read from 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now here's where he begins to empty himself. But made himself of no reputation. Okay, a man has not to make his own reputation, is he? You're not to do that. You let God make of your life what he wants to make of your life. You try to pull your head above everybody else's, it'll be you that does it. Now, he didn't do that. He's just equal with God, and he's humbled himself to whatever you want, you make it. You do it. And then he says, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Well, that's what he was. A man. A perfect human man. And a servant man. And was made in the likeness of men. Everything he suffered. With the exception of there was no sin in the flesh in him. Like, he didn't have that likeness, but he was a perfect human. And being found in fashion as a man, and that's what he was, but he was fashioned as a man without sin, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Let's turn to 15. Let's see, Romans 15, where you get over in the glorification comes by consecration part. That's what the last three are. Consecration that brings on glorification. Okay, 15:1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Oh, this is this kind of life now we're getting to. See why he's going to get to self? Self. Ought not to please yourself, because there's going to come time when you're right. But you're not to please yourself. What do you think it says about Jesus? You can read it in Luke 22:42, Matthew 16:28. It says, not my will. What would have been wrong with his will? Huh? You see the kind of life you've got? What would have been wrong with Christ's will? What was wrong with him at that age of preaching? And the Father said, no, go back. Be subject to these people you created. Huh? And it says he grew. How did he grow? It's a life that denies self. That's the kind of life it is. When the disciples were following him off. And of course, they were saying, who was the greatest off? Then we got, he said, what are you guys talking about? He knew what they were talking about. Oh, nothing, Lord. They were talking about who was the greatest. If you read it. See, that's not his life. That's not heaven. What a wonderful life you've got if you just yield to it. And here, as I was reading, let every one of us please his neighbor, of course, for good. Don't please him to edification. As even Christ pleased not himself. Huh? What would have been wrong with pleasing himself? He couldn't sin. Huh? This is the newness. See down there, we should walk in this newness of life. This is that newness of life. A one that denies self. And that's what we will get into here. But you can't. Just like them. You're not going to deny self. You know. You worship the Trinity deeply, deeply. Or a lot of people do, and most people do. Me, myself, and I. The greatest Trinity anybody ever knew is that. So, he's saying here, you were buried. How in the world, Jesus said, you've been translated out of the kingdom of this darkness and death in over here into this kingdom of his dear son forever, which is light. So now he uses baptism to say what happened. Know ye not, don't you know that? That all us that are saved, as we're baptized into. Now, you'll read in it, it will say, Acts, they baptized by the name of Jesus. This is not saying by the name of Jesus. This is saying into. In other words, he's using this as identifying with. They baptized by the name of Jesus because during this grace age, that is a formula we use. By the name of Jesus. And then you'll see upon. Now when they baptize you, they'll say, your faith upon. Upon the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart that he has died and been risen from the dead. So that's different. When it's upon your faith in the Lord Jesus for what he's done. This is into. This is you are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you are a human being with Adam. Over in the seven, he'll take another thing as a man married to a woman and then he changes it and the woman dies. But if we ever get there. So, we're baptized into, you are completely identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can draw all your strength from the new resurrected life. You are a resurrected creature. You are a creature that has already passed. You're not going to. From death unto life. And you can live that life now and here. That's what he says here. If you know it. And then he'll tell you how you have to do it. And it works. The one thing about Catholics going their kind of form of sanctification, it don't work, does it? Methodists, it don't work, does it? So they got all that in common. You know how many commentaries are wrote on sanctification? But there's just one trouble. They don't work. See? This is what works. So, he uses this that we should, God forbid, know ye not that we were baptized into Jesus, we're all out of, he's using baptism, he completely, where sin abounded on the cross, and now grace, this new life has come out. The new resurrected life, but it isn't even the life. We know no man after the flesh of the old life, good or bad, not even Christ. And if you yield to it, that is the life and the newness of a life that you will begin to feel. That's what you people that are living it feel. See? The fruit, not fruits, because the fruit of the Spirit, if it was fruits, then you might just have love in your heart. One fruit. If you're going to separate the fruits, they're all together. They can all mature together. That's what he's saying. And it's of him, the Spirit. So he's saying now, identify yourself with a fact. It's a fact. The old man is dead. You are not under sin, though it dwells in your flesh. You have the power at any time to say no. Any time. You didn't have that power before. You might not have yielded to certain sins, but you yielded to sin every time because you were a sinner. Now you've been resurrected. You're not a creature in the garden. You're a resurrected creature. One that has already passed death. And how many times can you kill a human being? Huh? Do you believe God will finish the work? Do you believe that everything he said, he'll bring to pass? Eve didn't. She doubted it. Don't doubt it. It's a fact. You are resurrected into a new life. Now, first, this is something you got to know. And you got to know not. Don't you understand this? You'll never live this life until you find out and realize what's going on. Rebecca. I don't mean Rebecca. I mean... Oh, she had Ishmael and of course, Jacob. She inquired of the Lord what was going on inside of her. You know that. And he explained that to her. Well, this is what's going on inside. But the fact is, you don't have to listen to the old creation whatsoever. It's dead. If if a person murders, we have people that, they had two guys that shot a bunch of people up and killed them in a different states. They got them, and different states tried them. Because they wanted to make sure the state that had the best death penalty, or at least they got life. Now, and two of them did, the one guy. Two states have tried them, and they're supposed to put them to death. Is the state that doesn't execute them first going to go over there and get that guy's body and execute him again? Nah. He's passed. We'd just be fools to do that. That guy can't feel a thing. He can't even sin. He's past that. When he wants you to identify with this, he's telling you, you are completely past all judgment in Jesus Christ. All of it. So live now over here in this, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer over here in this realm? You know what the answer to that is? You can't. How could you live over here in this realm? It isn't even your abode. And if you're over there, you're miserable. It isn't even your mode of life. You can't live there. You can't. There might be a little bit of for a while. Oh, does it get bad? Thinking you're back over there in the realm of the dead. It's said that you hear people say, well, they went back into the life of sin. Oh, no. You can't go back into a life of sin. That's what that just said. There's no such thing as going back to a life of sin or living in sin. They're back living in sin. They're back being miserable in sin. See, you can't do it. Look at it again. How can ye that are dead to that realm live any longer in a dead realm? You can't. So that's how he starts it off. Let's stand.